Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 163 for the week of May 23rd, 2022. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. We'll start this week with a look back to the first quarter, specifically at revenues for the trucking industry, as reported by the Census Bureau's Quarterly Services Survey. One thing you should know, if you don't already, is that on a not seasonally adjusted basis, first quarter revenues always are below the fourth quarter of the previous year. And you probably see where I'm going with that. That was not true this year. The industry posted a 1.4% increase in revenues on an unadjusted basis to a record level, surpassing the prior record that was set in the fourth quarter. The 28.3% year-over-year comparison in Q1 is the second strongest on record. It was surpassed, not surprisingly, by the second quarter of last year, which was up 32.3% over the second quarter of 2020. I think we all remember that quarter. Unadjusted revenues for couriers and messengers, that's parcel and local delivery in our parlance, declined 4% in Q1 from the record in the fourth quarter of last year. Owing to the holiday peak, unadjusted Q1 revenues always fall from Q4 levels. And I wasn't setting you up for anything that is true. And the only time that wouldn't be true is if the pandemic had happened in Q1 instead of Q2. I guess it did actually start in Q1, but only at the very end. Next month, the Census Bureau will release seasonally adjusted revenues, as well as more granular figures for trucking, including breakdowns for general freight and specialized. Both sectors of trucking had posted record seasonally adjusted revenues in Q4. Okay, let's continue with a look at diesel prices, which were down for the second straight week. Not by much, mind you. Recall that in the prior week, diesel prices were down exactly a penny. In the latest week, the week ended May 23rd, the national average price of diesel decreased 4.2 cents to $5.571 per gallon. Now, 4.2 cents is better than one, and 5.2 cents over 2 weeks is something, although it's not a whole lot to cheer about given where diesel prices are. Meanwhile, we have been talking about the extraordinarily low inventories of distillate on the East Coast. Well, distillate stocks did rise in the latest week, but only by a little over 1,000 barrels. It's not much, but you do have to start somewhere, I suppose. However, what really isn't moving in the right direction is the price of crude. West Texas Intermediate has been trading north of $110 a barrel for most of the past week. Prices have slipped below that threshold on occasion, but we certainly aren't seeing any sustained decreases, and that's going to keep something of a floor on diesel prices for a while. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight for the week ended May 20th, which is week 20 of the year. The spot market for van freight might be cooling in general, but the annual roadside inspection event known as International Road Check did what it always does, and that is to drive up spot rates and volume. during the week, dry van and refrigerated rates in the truckstop.com system saw their largest weekly gains since the final week of last year, when, as you may recall, both segments posted record rates. Flatbed rates, which were already at pretty close to record levels, soared to a record. Total load postings rose 12.5%, which is the strongest gain since the beginning of the year. Volume was about 18% below the same 2021 week, but 86% above the five-year average for the week. Roadcheck, which was held May 17th through 19th this year, was conducted in early May last year, so the comparison to prior year figures was relatively favorable. Let's talk a little bit more about rates. We didn't really talk specifics earlier. Total rates increased 7 cents, though the gains in each of the segments was considerably stronger. Now, it's sort of weird that total rates were up by less than the amount of any specific sector. That sounds like it must be an error, but it's not. The odd outcome results from the fact that most of the volume growth, which we'll talk about later, occurred in refrigerated and dry van. And those segments are seeing rates that are 65 cents and a dollar, respectively, below flatbed. Therefore, the total average rate paid did not rise by as much as you might expect because of the way that all broke out. There was more volume in the lower rate segments, and therefore the average rate did not rise by as much as you might expect it to be. The broker posted total rate was about 3% ahead of the same week last year, but FTR estimates that excluding an imputed fuel surcharge, rates would have been down nearly 11% year over year. The total spot rate is only 3 cents below the record posted at the end of 2021, but the rate excluding fuel surcharges is about 36 cents below the record. Let's change things up a little, and we'll talk about both rates and volume one at a time for each of the segments. We'll start with dry van. Dry van spot rates rose nearly 9 cents. Rates are down about 61 cents from the record level posted at the end of last year. They're nearly 9% lower than the same week in 2021. But if we exclude fuel surcharges, they're down nearly 27%. Dry van load postings jumped about 21%. That's the strongest increase since the beginning of the year. Volume was about 11% below the level posted in the same 2021 week, but about 79% above the five-year average for the week. Let's talk refrigerated. Refrigerated rates soared nearly 22 cents. Rates are down nearly $1.10 since hitting a record at the end of last year. They were about 10% below the same week in 2021, but nearly 26% lower, excluding a surcharge. Load postings in refrigerated spiked about 41%. That is the strongest surge since November of 2019. Volume was about 5% above the same week last year, and about 125% above the five-year average. And finally, flatbed spot rates jumped by nearly 12 cents. That's one of the largest increases ever for flatbed in a single week. And that rose to a record, which is hardly surprising since it had posted a record just 3 weeks earlier. Flatbed rates were nearly 10% higher than the same 2021 week, but 3% lower than that week if we exclude fuel surcharge. Despite the huge rate increase, volume growth was not especially strong. Flatbed load postings increased a little more than 4%. Volume was about 25% below the same 2021 week, but about 83% above the five-year average for the week. Let's wrap up the weekly indicators with a couple more metrics, starting with unemployment benefits. First-time claims for benefits rose by 21,000, seasonally adjusted, to a level that is close to the average for all of 2019, which is pretty low. However, the big news on unemployment benefits was that continued claims for benefits fell by 25,000 to 1.317 million. That is the lowest seasonally adjusted level since the 60s. Well, since December 27th, 1969, which was quite literally the very last week of the 60s, but it counts. And finally, among weekly indicators, homebuyers got slightly better news in the latest week as mortgage rates eased. According to Freddie Mac, the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage decreased 0.05 of a point to 5.25%. That is the largest one-week decline since early March, but it's still very high and really not that much of a decline. Since we're already talking about mortgage rates, let's start our discussion of monthly indicators with the housing market, and specifically home sales. Sales of existing single-family homes fell for the third straight month, declining 2.5% in April. Sales were 2.3% below February 2020, seasonally adjusted, and that marks the first time since June of 2020 that existing home sales were below pre-pandemic levels. The National Association of Realtors said that given high prices and high mortgage rates, quote, it looks like more declines are imminent in the upcoming months, end quote. And this is a group that hasn't been particularly negative about its comments. So when the realtors say that we're looking at more declines, it's a good chance we are. However, even as sales are declining, home prices are still rising, and listed homes are selling swiftly, the association said. We also got data last week on home building, which is still strong despite rising mortgage rates, declining sales, and just general jitters about the economy. Housing starts dipped just 0.2% from March, and I would say all things considered, that's pretty good. But the construction picture looked quite different depending on the nature of the housing unit. So starts of single-family homes fell 7.3%, but starts of multifamily housing units jumped 16.8%. It's quite possible that rising mortgage rates have a greater negative impact on single-family demand than on multifamily, and that's because the multifamily units could be used either for rental or perhaps for smaller condominiums, for which financing costs likely would be less of a factor than they are for single-family homes. Permits authorized for future home construction fell 3.2%. That's the largest decline since September. However, permits in April were still running nearly 25% ahead of pre-pandemic levels. Housing completions fell 5.1%. The number of homes under construction rose 1.6% to the highest level since the Census Bureau began tracking the data in 1970. Shortages of labor and materials presumably are a big factor in the backlog, but we don't have any visibility into the stage of construction. As I mentioned last month, just site clearing alone counts as a housing start in the Census Bureau data, so it is quite possible that we've seen site clearing for a lot of housing units that might not be completed at all, at least not for several years. Okay, let's move on to the industrial sector. Industrial production in April saw its strongest increase since October, and its sixth increase in the past 7 months. The Federal Reserve's index, in fact, is at the strongest level ever, as it was last month before this month. In April, industrial production rose 1.1%, seasonally adjusted, and was 4.2% ahead of February 2020. All three major components of industrial production, that's manufacturing, mining, and utilities, saw solid gains in April. Manufacturing output rose 0.8%, and nearly half of that resulted from a strong month for motor vehicles and parts output, which was up nearly 4%. If we exclude automotive, manufacturing increased 0.5%. The Fed's manufacturing index in April was at its highest level since July of 2008 and was 4.6% ahead of February 2020. Excluding automotive, manufacturing was the strongest since August of 2008 and 5% ahead of February 2020. With solid gains in both March and April, motor vehicles and parts output is 0.8% ahead of February 2020, seasonally adjusted. And automotive output had not exceeded pre-pandemic levels since July of 2020. Home electronics also saw a solid gain in April production. Electronics and automotive, among others, offset notable declines in production of appliances, furniture, and carpeting. Finally, this week, let's talk about the retail sector. Retail and food service sales in April were at a record level, the fourth record in 4 months. Sales increased 0.9%, seasonally adjusted. Although the gain was smaller than the gains we saw in February and March, a key factor was declining gasoline station sales as prices retreated from the record surge that occurred in March. Most other retail segments posted solid gains, and the 2.7% drop in gasoline station sales was by far the largest of the four sectors that saw decreases. Miscellaneous store retailers saw the largest increase at 4%. The next three largest gainers happen to be the next three largest retail sectors, which are motor vehicle and parts dealers, non-store retail, and food services and drinking places. And each of those saw gains of roughly 2%. Although soaring prices are fueling some of the growth in retail sales, inflation-adjusted retail sales rose 0.6% in April and were only 0.6% below the record level in March of 2021. On a current dollar basis, sales are nearly 29% ahead of pre-pandemic levels, while inflation-adjusted sales are nearly 16% higher than February 2020. I also wanted to point out that the retail report for April was the first that reflected the Census Bureau's April 25th annual data revision. The revision made very little difference in the total retail sales, but changes were very significant at the sector level. Indeed, non-store retail and food services and drinking places saw quite large upward revisions. Food and beverage stores and motor vehicles and parts saw fairly small downward revisions, and general merchandise stores saw a substantial downward revision. There's a chart that shows all of these revisions in the slide deck that accompanies this podcast. I've also included a chart that I had been running before the pandemic showing the sort of steady gains that non-store retail was making on general merchandise and food and beverage stores. And in fact, before the pandemic, non-store retail had surpassed those two. That difference now with those revisions that I talked about is quite dramatic, so you should check that out. Okay, so let's recap the key takeaways for the week. For-hire trucking posted record revenues in the first quarter. Diesel prices were down more than 4 cents. Distillate stocks edged higher. Crude is trading roughly $110 a barrel. Continued jobless claims were the lowest since the 1960s. Mortgage rates dipped to 5.2% in the latest week. Existing home sales fell for the third straight month in April. Housing starts changed little during the month, while permits fell, homes under construction are the highest on record, industrial production and manufacturing output rose in April, retail and food services sales set another record, and a revision of retail data yielded some notable changes. Next week, we'll talk about sales of new homes and about consumer spending and income, and we'll also cover the latest on diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight. Plus, we'll take a look at FTR's Trucking Conditions Index for April. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 163 for the week of May 23rd, 2022. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.